I'm just going to share one verse from Exodus chapter 4. In chapter 3, Moses had encountered God in the burning bush, this amazing revelation. And God had told Moses he wanted him to do something, lead his people. So that's the background. Then we move on to chapter 4. Then Moses answered, "But suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say the Lord did not appear to you." I'll say it again. Then Moses answered, "But suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say the Lord did not appear to you." Right. A few weeks ago, we were on holiday in North Devon. And once again, my wife Catherine and my mother-in-law Elaine and my daughter Zoe, to a lesser extent, they became engrossed in something. We were in a beautiful part of the country, and it was not the beautiful scenery or the beach or the good weather we were having, but they became engrossed in a jigsaw puzzle. The younger ones, do you like jigsaw puzzles? Yeah? Have you done one recently? I've got a lot at home. If you'd like them, I can bring them up. And it was a real challenge for them. It was a picture of Venice, the Grand Canal in Venice. I've been there a couple of times. It's a wonderful scene. And it was a real challenge. And it was only finished on the Friday evening, the day before we came home. And I remember the time, it was 6:15 on the Friday evening. And I'm not into jigsaws. You've probably realised that already. I don't see the point. You spend all week putting it together, and then you have to break it all up again and put it back in the box. What's the point? I don't see the point, yeah. I didn't get involved, needless to say. So what did I do when they were doing it that at night? I did some reading, some deeply theological books I read about fishing and other things like that. And I watched one of the Harry Potter films on TV. Have we got any Harry Potter fans here? Just me then? Oh, John as well. Okay, yeah. They're not everybody's cup of tea, but I like them, yeah. I love them because they're real, real blockbusters. I've just read some words from the book of Exodus, a few words. Now, the story of Exodus in the Bible has all the ingredients of a blockbuster film. There's confrontation. There's a battle between good and evil. A showdown between the hero and the nemesis. And a decisive victory. And the potential of the special effects department to go right to town, will make this amazing. And that's what Exodus was, in my opinion. Because Exodus is not just a good story, neither is it a biography of Moses, as amazing as his story was. This story is about the King of Heaven and his mission to call out a people faithful to his name, whose lives reflected his character. As I've already said, Exodus chapter 3 records God calling Moses to lead his people out of slavery from Egypt into the land that God had promised them. But right at the beginning of chapter 4, we have a problem. Now, we had a problem this morning with the desk, and I didn't get involved because, like jigsaws, I don't know what I'm doing with stuff like that. So I left it to John and Catherine, and we got there in the finish yet, didn't we? Yeah, we got there. Well, they got there. I'm saying we. I'm using the royal we there. They got there, and thanks be to God they did. Otherwise, you'd have had me singing at you, and I can assure you, you wouldn't want that, would you? No, thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Absolutely. No, you wouldn't be singing. My mum used to say I sang like a lark. You know, I was young, a pillark, but that's another story. But right at the beginning of chapter 4, we've got a problem. That being, Moses was reluctant and fearful to go to the people and tell them that he'd encountered God. He'd stood in the presence of God and God had spoken to him through that burning bush. Now, the concerns Moses had were caused by him thinking too much about what God had told him to do. Moses was suffering from something. It was over-anticipation, and he was suffering it from big style. Moses had built up this thing so big in his mind, he was now worried sick how people would react. Would you be the same if you encountered God in that same way? And then you've got to come to Mills Hill and say, all these people, hey, I'll tell you what happened when I came out to Tesco's last Thursday. I encountered God in the car park. Would you feel happy to do that? Yeah. You seem very keen. Yeah. Well, that's how Moses felt. He thought, what are people going to say when I tell them I've stood toe-to-toe with God? I've had a conversation with God. And instead of focusing on what could go right, Moses was panicking about what could go wrong. And sometimes we can be guilty of the same thing. We build up events and things in our own mind and we worry about them. We worry what may go wrong. Has anybody ever done that? Please put your hand up, not just me again. Yeah, we panic about things. Even the young ones, you worry about things, don't you? About school and homework and is that a Manchester City face mask? Never mind. Dear, oh, dearie me. I thought it was. I thought, yeah. And a shirt as well. Etihad shirt. Yeah. I'm from Wolverhampton. You've probably noticed. And I support Wolves. Yeah. No. Who said never mind then? Never mind. Yeah. I was going to put my Wolves shirt on today. I thought I better not. So I know there's a few City fans here. Yeah. Never mind. No. Are you a Red? Oh, brilliant. We've got a true Manc. Brilliant. Where was I? Ah, Moses. He worried what people would say. And we can do the same thing. What's going to go wrong if we do this? What's going to go wrong if we try that? What's going to go wrong if we try and do this? And believe me, it happens a lot in church life. Do you agree? Yeah. This can happen a lot in church life. A few years ago at Oldham, I invited the minister from our sending church in Bilston, who baptised Catherine and myself, to come and lead our anniversary service. And I spoke to him a few weeks before, and he said, do the children go out, or do they stay in? I said, everybody's staying in. He said, oh, right, that changes the field then. He said, I'll tell you what to do. Take all the chairs out of the church. I said, yeah. He says, then put tables in. And then put the chairs back around the tables. And before the service, we'll have hot chocolate and what are those things that go in them? Not mushrooms, marshmallows. We'll have all that and we'll have a nice relaxing. I thought, well, this is different. This is radical. And believe me, the night before the service, I didn't sleep a wink. I thought, what are people going to say when they come in and see the church in this state? Some people say, where's my seat? Where's my seat? I've sat in that seat for 110 years. Where's my seat gone? You know, why are we doing this? Why? And I was thinking about all the things that could go wrong. And you know what happened? We had a great morning. We had a great morning. It was a true blessing. And people enjoyed it. And I kept my job, which is always a relief. Back in 2014, as part of my college course at Bristol Baptist College, we had to spend 3 weeks in Jamaica. Anybody been to Jamaica? Wonderful place. But it's a long flight. And the first 9 hours, we flew into, Atlanta in the States. And you have a lot of time to think about what can go wrong. What can go wrong, not what can go right. I was thinking all stupid things. What happens if I'm chased by a big spider? What happens if I see a snake? What happens if I stand under a coconut tree and one falls on my head? What, you know, all these daft things. What could go wrong instead of focusing on what could possibly go right? And again, we had a fantastic time. As disciples, I'm sure we have all been there at some point in our lives. As a church, I'm sure we've all been there at some point in our church lives. Because we know God would ultimately provide the means for Moses to do what God wanted him to do and to go where God wanted him to go, albeit not all the way. And it's no different for us. God will never send us somewhere or ask us to do something for him without him providing the means for us to do it, the help for us to do it. If God wants us to do a job, he will provide the tools to do that job, just like he did with Moses. It's no different. As we hopefully come out of lockdown and we progress forward, we need to trust God. in the period that you're entering in, interregnum, James and Ruth are moving on. You need to trust God. And I'd encourage you not to worry about what might go wrong, but try and focus on what will be right. Because when God's involved, it will be right. We need to go where God wants to lead us and trust him to supply us with courage, determination, and resources we need to do his will down here. In Exodus and beyond, the people of God had the opportunity for a fresh start. You've got that opportunity now for a fresh start. Okay, they often messed it up, and ultimately they were punished for it, but they had the opportunity. We too can have the same opportunity for a fresh start every day. Now that excites me. The opportunity for a fresh start every day. Every day, start with God. Begin today. Begin with God. An opportunity to look at things in a new way. An opportunity maybe to church in a new way. But more on that following our second reading and some prayers. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you call us to be church. We thank you that you call us to be your body down here on earth. Your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears. And we pray, Lord, as we move forward, we will recognize that your love is not just for us who gather in this way. Your love is for a world that is troubled, a world that is often broken and scarred. A world, Lord, where war still reigns for many. A world where many go hungry day in, day out. A world where many don't even have the basic health care that we sometimes take for granted. A world where young children are starving because of acts of war and acts of terror. Lord, this is your world. These are your people. And we bring them before you today. So, Lord, we just pray, where there is war, you will bring peace. Where there is hunger, you will bring food. Where there is despair, you will bring hope. Where there is sickness and disease, you will bring healing. Lord, we pray for all those who work around the world in your name, bringing healing, bringing hope, bringing comfort to those who are less fortunate. And Lord, we just want to pray for this fellowship here today. The ones who can't be with us, the ones who may be ill, the ones who are isolating, the ones who are on holiday. Lord, we remember them and bring them all before you. We give thanks for the news that James and Ruth have got two new grandchildren. Praise be to God for that. We pray for the family there in Wales. And Lord, you know each and every one of us intimately. You know what we need, not necessarily what we always want. And we just take a moment now, Father God, to bring our prayers for you, to you, for ourselves, our family, our friends, and each other. Lord, we bring the prayers in silence. Loving Father God, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you that we know that when we pray, someone listens, someone cares, and someone responds. So Lord, for the prayers on our lips and the prayers that we offer in the quietness of our hearts, we bring them all before you in the name and for the sake of your Son, our Saviour and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll continue this story through Exodus chapter 4, and it starts to get a bit interesting now. The Lord said to him, "What's that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake. And Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and seize it by the tail. So he reached out his hand and grasped it, and it became a staff in his hand, so that they may believe that the Lord God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. And again, the story, it begins to hot up. God says to Moses, what have you got in your hand? A shepherd's staff. Throw it on the ground. What happens? It turns into a snake. And we'll look at that in a bit more detail in a moment. But we remember God was chosen to serve the purpose. Moses was chosen to serve the purpose of God in his generation. And our next hymn encourages us that we want to serve the purpose of God in our generation. So let's stand. Let's worship God.
Serve the purpose of God in my generation. I want to serve the purpose of God while I am alive. I want to give my life for something that'll last forever. Oh, I delight to do your will.
That's something we should be asking daily of God. What's on your heart? Show me what you want me to do. Because God calls us to work for him down here. Did you know a shepherd's staff was about 3 to 6 foot in length? Did you know that? I can assure you it's true because I Googled it. Yeah, a shepherd's staff, 3 to 6 foot in length, often with a hook on the top. Yeah, and a shepherd would use it for walking, obviously for guiding his sheep, and many other tasks. Now, one task a shepherd used to use his staff for was killing snakes. Did you know that? Yeah, he used to kill snakes with it, because snakes obviously were a threat to the shepherd and they were a threat to the sheep. But at the end of the day, it was just a stick. It was just a piece of wood. So imagine Moses' surprise and shock when, after throwing his staff to the ground, it turned into a snake. Now, I was going to be really clever this morning. I was going to borrow a snake to bring and show you, but I thought it's not a good idea because snakes can sometimes escape. They get into places where they shouldn't get. So I thought, no, you didn't look too keen, do you? you wouldn't have been very happy, would you, if I'd have put a snake on the ground? Yeah. Okay. So I thought, I erred on the side of caution. Yeah. God said to Moses, throw your stick on the ground. And we know that it turned into a snake. And no wonder he ran away. I'd think I'd do the same things. Young ones at the back, if you saw a snake, would you run away? You don't know? Well, I've got one in the boot of the car if you want me to go and get. Oh, there's always one in there. There's always. You do your best in preparation, and there's always somebody says, I've got a snake at home. Don't bother me. Yeah. Yeah, I've got a snake at home. Oh, great. Yeah. Yeah. No wonder he ran away. I think I'd do the same if I climb into the close proximity of a snake. It'd be Nike running shoes on, Usain Bolt gone. Get out the way. Yeah. Enter God. Enter God. Verse 4, God said to Moses, pick it up. Would you like to pick up a snake one day? Maybe. Yeah. There's a lot of maybes and possibles over from this section. Yeah. He said, pick it up. Yeah. But pick it up by its tail. Pick it up by its tail. And once more, it turned into a staff. Now, I'm no expert on snakes. I think we've got a junior expert on snakes over here. But this much I do know. If you are ever foolish enough to, or brave enough to want to pick up a snake, you don't pick it up by the tail, do you? Because you pick it up by the tail, it recalls, you're bitten, and you're in trouble. You just do not do it. Yeah. And being a shepherd who had probably crowned a few snakes in his lifetime, Moses would have known this. He would have known, well, it's a bit daft to go for the tail. Yeah. Moses' head would be telling him, go for the safe option. Go for the head. Ignore the tail. But God said, pick it up by its tail. In other words, do it differently. Take a risk. Come out of the comfort zone. Yeah. And the decision to do things differently and taking a risk like Moses did takes courage, but it also requires immense faith. In our personal walk with God, is he telling us to do things differently, to go for the tail instead of the head? As a church moving forward now, are you going to take the safe option and keep going for the head? Even at those times when you may think, well, God's telling me to go for the tail here, to do it differently, to do it in a new way, to come out of the comfort zone. As a church, are we brave enough to go for the tail? Are we happy with the safer option, having doing what we've always felt to be nice and safe and comfortable? Because that happens in church life. We can fall into the trap of thinking, we've done it like this for years, we'll just carry on. It's like a nice old pair of slippers, you know. Church can be like that sometimes. It can be like a nice comfy pair of slippers. Sometimes church needs to be like a pair of new shoes. You put them on and you might walk about thinking, oh, these are pinching a bit. But you get used to it. You get used to doing things differently. Now, I'm not suggesting that we attempt to reinvent the wheel when it comes to being church. Neither am I suggesting that we take unnecessary risks or adopt a change for change's sake policy. But what I feel we should be doing every day is looking at church through a different lens. Look at church through different eyes. How we worship, how we pray together, how we meet together spiritually and socially. Now, it sounds like you're going to have a good social over the road next week. Yeah? Do you know what's on the menu? Yeah. What have you got? Oh, it's pies, is it? Oh, what time's this starting at? 12:30. Now, if I started Oldham at 11 and I cut it short a bit, I'm sure have you got room for two more? Well, I've got no chance because Sandra's Catherine's cousin, so I forget that. I've got no chance. Looks like cheese again, love. Yeah. You're going to have a good time. You're going to come together. Yeah. How we engage and nurture our young people. It's great to see young ones here. Even if he has got a Manchester City shirt on, I'll forgive him that. God forgives you. God forgives you. And let's not forget, people say, our young people, it's fantastic. They're the church of tomorrow. They're not. They're the church of today because they've got a part to play in the church of today. How we engage with our community, how we use our buildings. Within all that, I really believe there'll be opportunities to go for the tail as well as going for the head. You don't need me to remind you that in the past year, our world has changed in unprecedented ways. We couldn't step foot in our buildings for over a year, but we were still church. We were still the body of Christ, and we will go on being church. So let's be bold enough to have a look at doing church in a new and exciting way. In the story we've looked at this morning, and I'll let you into a secret here. I've got a shepherd's staff, but I left it in the office at home. You know, and I was driving up through Oldham. I said to Catherine, I forgot the stick. And it was too late to go back. So it's about 6 foot. It's just 2 metres. And it came in very handy when we were getting the church ready for reopening because it was just long enough to put it on a chair. And then 2 metres, we got another chair. So as well as killing snakes and guiding sheep and walking, we used it to arrange the chairs at Oldham Baptist Church. It came in handy. But that's just a stick, yeah. And in this story we've read this morning, a stick was just a stick until God got involved. Until God got involved, it was just a piece of wood. God did what he did to teach Moses an important lesson. God did something ordinary. He took a stick and used it in an extraordinary way, an amazing way. And that same God can do the same thing for us. Just think about all the ordinary things we have in life. If you've got a beautiful singing voice, unlike me, then use it for God. Allow God to use that for his glory. Yeah. If you're a creative with a simple pen, pencil or paintbrush, allow God to do something extraordinary with them. Yeah. If you're good with a hammer, a spade, a mop, a broom, a musical instrument, all everyday things, let God take them and do extraordinary things with them. Because if he can turn 6 foot piece of wood into a snake, just think what he can do with what you've got, and he will use what you have got. And God will still use the specialist skills and the specialist people who possess them. The people are called the clever ones. He'll use them as well, but he'll use us. He'll use us. Ordinary people with ordinary everyday things. So let's not hinder what God can do. Moses experienced it, and we can experience it too. And part of that experience, I believe, is allowing God to transform us in the people that he wants us to be. His church, the body of Christ. Not by standing still or running away from the snake, but by listening, obeying, and going for the tail. At times doing things in a new way, an exciting way. Stepping out in faith, and sometimes faith is spelled R-I-S-K. We have to take risks for the kingdom. Yeah. You as a fellowship are entering a new time, a new season. Don't be afraid of it, but let God work through that season. And if you feel God saying, hey, Mills Hill Baptist Church, I want you to go for the tail on this one. I pray that you will have the faith, the courage, and the determination to do it. And we'll do that by listening, obeying and stepping out in faith and going for the tail as well as the head. And if you or any church can do that, we can truly say, all thanks be to God. Amen.